Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Thursday, July 11th. God uses anything and everything to bring you closer to Him. Let's learn how to cooperate with the Lord as you gain understanding of God's pathway of brokenness.
What I want to talk about in this message is God's path of brokenness. Now, usually when people think about brokenness, they think about suffering and hurt and pain, and oftentimes forget what is it all about? Who's behind it all? What's the purpose of it? Is there any way to avoid that and still be useful for God? Lots of questions, and I want to answer those questions. And so what I'd like to do, first of all, I want to define what brokenness is. This is God's method of dealing with the self-life. Oh, what's the self-life? It's that desire within us to act independently of God. I don't care how committed you are to Christ, there are times when there are those desires to act independently of God and have our way. And so brokenness is God's way of dealing with that. So ask yourself the question, is God in the process of trying to break you financially? Is He breaking you through finances? Not that He just wants to break you and make you a pauper, it's not that, but does He want to work in your finances to bring you to the realization He doesn't want you trusting in money. He wants you trusting in Him. Is He working in your family in such a way that He's trying to get to your insides, to your spirit, to your attitude? Is He working in your vocation, for example? You want to get to the top. God wants to get you broken. He wants to get you usable. In other words, He will use finances, use your wife or your husband, your children. He will use your occupation. He will use friendship. He uses many things in order to bring us to the place where we are usable from His perspective. And you know, I watch these people on television who are up and going, and they've got this and they've got that and they're this and they've had all these awards and so forth, and they're sitting on top of the world. And isn't it interesting, in a few months or a couple of years, you say, whatever happened to so-and-so? You see, they refused to be broken. They took all the credit. And God only allows that for a certain length of time. You say, well, I know some people who've not been broken. Look how God's using them. Is God using them, or are they going to own talent, skills, and abilities? And remember this, and I've read probably every biography of preachers, great preachers, that's ever been written. And here's what I discovered that helped me. Every single one of them, at some point in their life, God had to break them. He's in the process of breaking people every day. That is, He's not trying to destroy us. Because of His love, what's He doing? He is in the process of working in our life in such a fashion that He can use us. So here's what He does. He targets the area that needs to be worked on. And then what does He do? He controls the pressure. So you say, well, I just can't stand it, God. And all of us have probably been there. And oftentimes, He will take us down with our health to break us. And a person says, well, how much brokenness does it take? That depends upon the individual. Because you see, if I resist His brokenness, He's going to turn on the pressure. And I say, no, 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 until I either break or God backs off and puts me on the shelf, and I'm no longer usable. There are a lot of people who start out well who get shelved. And I know a few men of God who've been shelved. Skill, ability, talent, eloquent, you name it. You say, I wonder what ever happened to so-and-so. Because, listen, God doesn't just back off because you don't want to be broken. If He puts you on the shelf, that's a terrible thing. You keep resisting Him, He keeps turning up the heat. Does He turn up the heat to punish us? No. Because you see, notice this. Sometimes it's not so much a sin in a person's life, it's their attitude. Well, I can do thus and so, and I'm going to do it this way, and I know this is what. For example, if you have somebody working for you, and they have a rebellious spirit, and you have a certain routine that you go through, and this is the way you operate, and yet here's a person who says, no, I'm going to do it this way. You're not going to leave them there very long, because they're going to cause all kind of heartache and troubles and so forth. So He governs the pressure. How much pressure? Now, remember this. You don't break a child's spirit, you break their self-will. You don't break the stallion's spirit, you break his self-will. You don't break a believer's spirit. God breaks our will so that the spirit within us can flow and function, and we can be counted by God, and we can be usable by God. He's after this self-will, this desire to act independently of him. And as we said in the very beginning, and I go back on purpose, you wouldn't let your children, at least I certainly hope you wouldn't let your children govern you, control you, yet that's exactly what happens. Because parents can't stand rejection, they let their children grow up rebels, and then you want to blame them for how they're acting. When they were subject to you, under your control, you could have avoided this if you had broken their self-will by demanding obedience to you. And the very idea that in a family you do not discipline your children, it's parental suicide because of human nature. We all have that within us. And I can remember my mother never used, she never touched me with her hand, because she was wise enough to know slapping a child is a terrible thing, because you slap their personality to some degree. It's you against them. But my mother used a switch, and I couldn't possibly believe at the moment that what she was doing was an act of love. Didn't take me very long to realize, thank you, Mother, that you didn't let me get by with a bunch of stuff that I would have gotten by with if you had not been strong enough. I may have felt sometimes she didn't love me, but after I'd get off and think about it, I'd think, knowing her, yes, she does. And people wonder sometimes why they go through certain difficulties and hardships in their life, and why doesn't God change this and why doesn't God change that? He's not working in his life that way. He's not doing that. We think it's punishment and God's upset and he's all mad at us. No. It's this awesome, wonderful, divine parent who wants to get to you so you don't wreck and ruin your life. So you listen, as we can be proud of our children, God wants, to, humanly speaking, to be proud of us, and that is that we're his servants, we're his children, and he wants the best for us. And somewhere along the way, being broken, he broke our stubborn will, and now he's able to work his will and his way and his purpose in our life. What a fantastic way for God to operate. Brokenness is not a result of anger on the part of God. It's a result of the spirit of love on the part of God. He is far more interested in making us usable, wonderful servants of God than he is our pleasure. So what I want you to notice is this. God worked in Peter's life, in Paul's life, Moses' life. He worked in their lives, the lives of others in the scripture. He worked in their life, what? To get them usable. Now, why do we resist brokenness? Well, number one, it's just pure old pride. We want to have it our way. We want to do it when we want to do it. We want to go when he says go. We want to go with whom he says go. And sometimes he's put his finger on some relationship, and he's going to hold it there till we're broken. Secondly, it's ignorance. And I think, and I'm certainly very, very supportive at this point, a lot of times it's ignorance. People have never been taught. And maybe this is the first time you ever heard about brokenness. You think, well, when you break something, you ruin it. No. God is in the process of doing something awesome in our life. But we resist him because of pride and ignorance. And then, of course, there's fear. Well, so what will God make me do? What will he have me do? Isn't it interesting that we come up with the worst things possible that God could cause us to do and make us do, when that's not his purpose at all? It's all good from God's viewpoint. It's all good from the way he sees it. What's he doing? He's making it possible to use us to the maximum of our potential. Sometimes it's fear. Sometimes it's worldly entanglements. People are so wrapped up in the world and situations and circumstances, whether it's finance, a position, or relationships, whatever, God can't use us. Why? Because we get in entanglements. And God, he has to break us, and it's so difficult for us to finally pull away. Some people never do. You have a relationship that is not of God, and you're saying to him, God, I want to do your will, but. Or God over here on this side, everything over here is surrendered to you, Lord. Over here, a little bit never hurt anybody. A little bit of rebellion hurts a lot of people besides you. Then, of course, there's a whole idea of unhealthy relationships. And people can get in those, And God tries to break them from that, and they choose between God and someone else. What a tragedy. I can remember I had a deacon in my church, a second church I ever pastored, and told me how God called him to preach very early in life. And he was married at that time, about that time, and he was called after he was married, and his wife said, "I'm not going to be any pastor's wife under any condition." He yielded. And he would sit, and we would talk and pray, and he'd cry. And next time we talked about the same thing. He cried about the same thing. Finally, I told him, "You know what? Why don't you trust God? You and I are responsible to be obedient to God no matter who does what. Sometimes you can't affect what somebody else does. You can't make them do what God wants them to do. You can't force them to be obedient to God. And when they choose otherwise, you have to let them go. But you and I must be obedient to God no matter what." So sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes, for example, it's just a pure old rebellious spirit. You know people who have a rebellious spirit. "You know what? I'm going to do it my way." Sometimes, for example, it's that Satan has a stronghold in somebody's life. It could be drugs, it could be lust, it could be sex, it could be a lot of things. But Satan gets a stronghold, and it's very difficult to break it loose. So that's some of the reasons we do. Now, what's the consequences? What are the consequences of our rebellion against his brokenness? Well, first of all, the first thing it does is it hinders our relationship with him. You cannot resist the brokenness of God, which is an act of love for you and for the kingdom. You cannot resist his brokenness in your life and at the same time have this intimate, loving relationship with him. It doesn't work. Rebellion does not work with God. So one of the first things that happens is your own personal relationship with him is hindered. The second consequence is that we delay God's will in our life. As long as you say no, 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 you're delaying his will in your life. What are you missing during that time? Only God knows. I used to teach in a Bible Institute where all the pastors there, with rare exceptions, were men whom God had called early in life, and they said no. And then they finally said yes. Let them tell you how and what God put them through before they were finally surrendered and yielded to preach the gospel of Christ. So there are consequences. There's the consequence, for example, of the people who are close to you. Everybody suffers. In other words, when you rebel against God or you are refusing to be broken and God's working in your life, your whole family will suffer. First of all, they see you, for example, suffering. And they hurt because you hurt. And they want to heal you if you could be healed. They want to straighten this mess out that you're in. They want to help you, but they can't. And oftentimes, they don't even realize why they can't help you. It's because God isn't going to let up on the pressure. He's not going to break your spirit. He's not going to let up on the pressure until you yield. So they suffer. They hurt. They want things right. They'll do whatever's necessary. But God's not working on them. He's working on you. And as long as he's working on you, they're going to suffer. Then, of course, when a person refuses to be broken, God limits what he can do with them. I believe that there are multitudes of believers. If they were fully surrendered to God, it would be awesome what God did in their life. And then what they'll do is they'll blame it on somebody else and say, "Well, if this were true and that were true, I wouldn't be going through what I'm going through." They never stop to think the fact that this could be of God. Could what I'm going through be an act of God? Yes. But when we resist it, what I want you to see is again and again and again, I repeat this, it's love you're resisting. It's something good that he has in mind. So the surrender is the right response. Otherwise, the pressure increases. And then, of course, as we mentioned before, finally, you don't surrender. He just puts you on the shelf. I don't know of anybody in life much that's more miserable than a Christian who's on the shelf, unused by God, talented, skilled, ability, experience, looks, you name it. God's not using them. Why? Because they refuse to be broken. Now watch this carefully. Satan may use you. He may give you enough of whatever you want in life. to keep you from being broken. Just enough satisfaction. Then what you will say is, well, I couldn't have done that anyway, and this is all I'll ever amount to, and on and on. And you can't blame it on anybody. When God is in the process of breaking you, remember this. You say, is there pain? Yes. Sometimes it's physical pain, if that's a choice of tools. Sometimes it's emotional pain, if that's a choice of tools. Sometimes it's spiritual pain. This awesome, horrible feeling that there's something between you and God and you just can't get there. Put you on the shelf. Surely you don't want to be on the shelf. Surely if brokenness is an act of God on your part for your good and His glory, you don't want to resist that. You may say, well, how could God use me? You'd be surprised. And let me just say this to you. There's some very wonderful things that you'll never know and never experience in life until you surrender yourself totally to Him and let Him be the one who determines how He uses you, how He blesses you. It may be how He enriches you, how He equips you, how He uses you to impact other people's lives. It is a very foolish person who's willing to live their life and at least not allow God to show you what He could do and will do in your life. And that's my prayer for you. And that's the purpose of this message. And Father, how grateful we are that You don't give up on us. If there is a stubborn will so rebellious that You have to shelve them, remind that person, Lord, today that Your heart is grieved that they're on the shelf. You don't rejoice over shelving anybody. Your heart hurts because You created us for the best, and You created us to love us and to use us and to work through us to accomplish Your awesome will. I pray the Holy Spirit has and is even now, and after this message is over, will speak to every single person who's heard it and who will hear it, to at least examine their heart and see what is there within me that is evidence that I am acting in opposition to the will of God, that I want my way. And bring them to the wise decision to say, Lord, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and obey Him. For all the days of my life, I want You to use me, Lord, to the maximum of my potential. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of God's Pathway of Brokenness. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. And don't forget, we have a limited audio series this month titled Songs of Spirit and Truth, God at Work in the Philippines and Indonesia. You can find it at intouch.org/global. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.